Hello, and welcome to Columboys, the podcast all about the glitzy, glamorous, big screen world of Lieutenant Columbo. I'm Mac, and with me as always is Ben. Welcome, Ben.
Hey, Mac.
Hey. This week we're taking a look at Season 5, Episode 1, Forgotten Lady. This episode stars Janet Leigh as a fading star who murders her husband. Leigh previously starred in Psycho as Marion Crane, a secretary who steals from her work and takes a trip to a nice motel where nothing else interesting happens to her, I assume. I was watching it, and it was boring. She was like, oh, I'm going to take a shower, and I thought, well, why am I even watching this? And I turned it off. So I assume the rest of the movie is just her running from the police.
You know what? I've never seen it either, so it's probably fine.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure she's okay.
Sounds like snooze to me. This episode also stars John Payne as Leigh's former co-star and promo Ned Diamond. Payne appeared opposite Maureen O'Hara in the very first Miracle on 31st Street. Bleh. Yep, those are all words I wanted to say. This would be his last acting role before he retired. In this episode is Robert F. Simon, who played J. Jonah Jameson in the Amazing Spider-Man live-action television series that ran in the 70s.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he was the doctor, the other doctor, murder victim.
Okay, the mustache doctor.
The mustache doctor.
Yeah, the surgeon.
It's also time to take a trip back to the Planet of the Apes, as this episode also features Maurice Evans, who played the intractable ape leader, Dr. Zaius. And just furthermore, this episode has the distinction of being the only episode where the murderer is not brought to justice.
Yeah.
Which is a heck of a tease. I have to say, I think I said before we were watching it that this might be my favorite episode, and watching it again, I think that stands up. I really, really, really like this episode.
I mean, you definitely said that, and I immediately thought, well, no pressure on this episode. And I'm going to be honest. I understand.
Yeah.
It's obviously, really good. I've still got a bunch left to see, but
sure.
But holy shit, is this a good episode. It's very strong. I mean, not just like performance-wise, everyone in it is very good, and it doesn't hurt to have Dr. Zaius as like the grumpiest fucking butler ever.
Yeah. He hates Columbo. It's so great.
Like hate at first sight.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just never goes away.
No. I mean, Columbo is the bane of all butlers. I don't think there's been a butler that's really loved him other than maybe Wilfred Hyde-White in the British episode, I think.
That's fair.
But I think other than that, like butlers generally are tired of him and want him to leave.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I mean, he is kind of dirty and messy, and he's always got a lit cigar. So I can see why they would maybe not be thrilled with him.
Remember there's that house matron of the one with... The twins.
Yes.
Yes. And she like flipped out on him and like screamed at him and hit him, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Where he like actively tried to get back on her good side.
Right.
Like
but,
it was
but
so
he
bad.
He just kept destroying her life, basically.
Yep.
but I think that this is like, it's really strong from a performance. It's a really great, The mystery around it is good. The solve is great.
Yeah.
And I think there are enough sort of clues laid throughout the episode that you don't necessarily know what's going on, but you kind of see that something is going on.
Yeah. So it's definitely different in that this isn't one where it feels like he is playing cat and mouse with the murderer in any way, shape, or form. It feels more like he's kind of following a trail of, you know, things that don't add up, but at no point does he really, like, until very late in the episode does he actually go, I'm pretty sure she killed her husband,
right?
And that's kind of remarkable, because they don't tip the hand on it at any point either, even though we kind of see all of the things around it. Mm-hmm. They don't really give us that window into Columbo until very late. In fact, in arguably one of the best scenes in the episode.
The scene before the final scene and the final scene are probably some of the strongest scenes in a Columbo.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
At all.
They're so good. There's so much tension and
it's interesting because of the nature of this particular crime, there is no final confrontation with the murderer. because of the circumstances of the crime. Yeah, so let's kind of lay out. It's a fairly simple, as far as murders go, it's pretty simple.
Yeah, it's not too convoluted or anything.
No.
So we have Grace Willis, or really, it was Grace
Walker.
Wheeler.
Yes.
Because it's Diamond and Wheeler was the knockout duo, which right. was Ned Diamond and Grace Wheeler.
Yes.
And so Grace is
and they were an old musical duo.
Yes.
They appeared in a lot of musicals together.
Right. They did a lot of musical work way back in the day.
Right.
And so
the Walking My Baby Back Home is the movie that they reference, which is an actual Janet Leigh movie from about 20 years prior to
right.
this movie. That's meant, I think, to be both of them in that movie.
Right.
Even though it wasn't him,
sure, but
a different actor. But
we can pretend.
But it, but
one
I think
out of two is fine.
It's meant to be, you know, this is their big movie together. And it is Janet Leigh. Like, all of the performances that they show of in that movie are her performing.
Right.
Right. So it does actually provide a little bit of kind of verisimilitude to him, which I really I appreciate.
Yeah. But so Grace is married to Dr. Willis, who is basically a retired doctor.
Yes.
Who is an older gentleman and also clearly married for wealth, et cetera.
He's very rich.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and so it's established early on. Basically, she's at like a premiere of a film called Song and Dance, which I assume is like a retrospective.
It's I think it's meant to be like That's Entertainment, which was an old thing that used to exist.
Okay,
where they would it was essentially like a clip show.
Yeah,
that they would show on television of like here's a musical front, here's a musical bit from Singing in the Rain.
Right,
here's
now
a
here's
bit
from
yeah.
That makes sense. But so Diamond and Wheeler are at this premiere.
They're on the red carpet mm-hmm. being interviewed.
And she announces basically that, hey, we're going to do a revival musical that I'm going to star in.
Yep, Broadway show. Big on Broadway, Broadway show.
Right. And so when she comes home, her husband is not thrilled with this.
Nope.
And
because
pretty much tells her, I'm not going to bankroll a Broadway musical.
For $500,000.
Right. We also were going on a round the world trip, and now, you know, and she's like, well, you can push that off, we'll just do this. And he's like, no, I'm not. And
he really puts his foot down, but not in like it's not mean. It doesn't seem like he is suppressing her dreams, really. It just seems like he's like, let's just go on this trip, and if we get back, we can talk about this. Like,
right,
very clearly he just kind of wants to go on the trip and relax and not think about this, but she's
right.
very much about like, there's a little bit of juice. Let's grab the bull by the horns and get this
done.
And
actually before this, when she comes home, she's stolen an extra sleeping pill out of his prescription bottle.
Before they have this conversation.
Yes, before this conversation.
Yes. And when she gets home, she goes to the medicine cabinet, which is off the kitchen downstairs, mm-hmm. and takes a pill from his pills.
Right. And so when he goes, basically he puts on his dressing gown and goes into the bathroom, and she dumps the pill that she has into his milk. Basically
to give him a double dose.
Yeah. So he's got a double dose, which means he's not going to wake up. And so while she is watching a film downstairs,
Walking My Baby Back Home.
Yep.
Yep.
She sneaks out to his car, grabs his revolver.
Which he keeps in his glove box.
Yep.
Completely unsecured.
Totally safe place to keep your gun.
Yep.
Take note, everybody. But anyway, so she then sneaks back into the room, bolts the door, puts the revolver in his hand, and pulls the trigger.
Right.
So that it looks like a suicide. She also takes out like the medical notes on the fact that he needs like prostate surgery. And
yes,
puts them
he's
in front of it.
We find out later he has an infected prostate
yep.
that he needs to have removed.
Yeah, there's a lot of prostate talk
in
this one, and
it's hey, you know, we're older guys. It's just a truth. It's just a fact of life. Get your prostate checked.
You got to get it checked. It's
That's
important.
True.
But anyway, so she murders him
yep.
and makes it look like a suicide, and then she climbs out. She climbs down a tree, out of the balcony,
yep.
and then sneaks back in to watch the film.
At this time, she finds that the movie, the film has snapped, and
mm-hmm.
she quickly repairs this with a splice
yep.
and gets back in time for the butler to discover her
watching
the end
film.
Of the film.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, she burns the bit that she cut out for the splice in
right.
the ashtray.
Which I don't think was strictly necessary, but...
I mean, it was nice that they showed us that and didn't, you know, then follow up on like the idea of like, oh, well, there was this missing.
Right. I still think that the burn thing would be there. Like it wouldn't just disappear.
Probably? Yeah. But I don't think it completely goes away like that.
No. But I mean, it's you know, oil-based. It's like plastic, basically. Right. It's not going to just evaporate.
Yeah, it wouldn't just be ashes. It would be kind of a fused lump.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this is how she kills her husband.
Yep. And that's how we get in. And from then, Columbo comes in. I think probably, I mean, maybe not the most disheveled we'd ever seen him, but definitely,
so far,
definitely pretty disheveled,
yeah.
I would say.
Well, I mean, he's missing his suit jacket.
Yeah.
He doesn't have his watch on. Yeah. He's missing his notebook. He's missing all these things because he was woken up from a
dead
sleep.
He doesn't even have his badge.
Right. Falls asleep on his feet while waiting for the maid to bring him
coffee.
A coffee.
Yeah. Yeah, he's having a bad night.
Yeah, it's a rough night for him. Yeah. But he's still got a lit cigar.
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
Know.
Well, the important things are taken care of.
He's definitely covered on that front.
He comes in, surveys the scene, notes the book the guy was reading, kind of takes a stock of everything.
And that's actually one of those little things that I really liked a lot about this episode was that they kind of just had all these bits that kind of came into the piece. Because even the book, like with that, the guy in the bookshop who is just like...
He just rattles off the plot of this book, which is like an insane book, first of all.
One, the book sounds insane. Two, he's rattling off the plot of the book to a guy that he thinks wants to buy the book.
Yeah, and gives him like basically a rundown of the entire book. It's pretty wonderful.
Yeah.
And then also like, and it's hard for us to, with that, I could do an impression of it, but he's doing it in such like a weird rattle, like monotone, like matter-of-facty sort of voice, just like, right, and then she flies off to Rome, gets involved with a Maharaja, like it's just, he's saying insane stuff in the most blasé way. I loved it. I love the whole thing.
It's really good because it's just so weird and inexplicable
and wonderful. And it is a normal sort of Columbo detour, but this one is nice in that it's over super quick.
Yeah, it's very fast, but it's also relevant.
Yeah, and it does give you the information, which is A, that he'd only recently gotten the book,
mm-hmm.
and that B, it's a light book.
Yeah.
It's not a heavy book. And it was not something that someone would be likely to read if they were, like, depressed.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is, again, one of those things that's really nice about this is there are so many little kind of details that you watch. We get to see Columbo kind of chased down without him, again, without it being a, like, we're going back and forth, you know, I know you did it and I'm rubbing your face in it or any of those kind of, which admittedly are some of my favorite episodes, but, like, it still keeps you on the hook. You're still following along through the whole episode.
It's really good because Janet Leigh's performance is really, it's really strong.
She's incredible.
She's so good throughout the episode. And she's really portraying a sort of manic energy that is constantly going between so happy to tell you about the being a star.
Right.
But also so freaked out about the suicide murder, whatever it is. And I think it's interesting to kind of, I guess we kind of need to talk about the thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, we have
we have to talk about it. So I would strongly suggest if you are at this point in the episode and of our episode and you have not watched this episode, I would strongly suggest that you find a way to
this
do
this.
Is
the point. This is like, this is your point of no return. You really should just stop and go watch
it. We don't normally give out spoilers, but because this is so...
Well, I mean, like, hold on. Okay, we don't normally give...
No,
I'm saying we don't normally
give out spoiler warnings.
Okay, that's fair.
But because the spoiler of this is so integral into what makes this episode great, that if you really want to appreciate... Now, I've seen it before, and watching it again, I still appreciated it, but I think you're definitely going to get a lot more going through it the first time not knowing.
I mean, I literally just went through it for the first time, so
right.
I have to agree, you know, again, which is why it's like, this is your last...
Yeah.
Chance for this.
Bug out
really,
now.
Just put a pin in this and go watch the episode and come back.
So the very end, Columbo comes over to the house dressed in a tuxedo, looking wonderful.
It's a great tuxedo.
I'm sure we'll get to that later.
Yeah, I'll bring it up later. It's fine.
He comes over, and Ned is there, and Grace is there, mm-hmm. and they're having a viewing party.
Because right. Grace had invited him and Mrs. Columbo to yep. come watch any film they wanted with her.
So
he's being very... Yeah, actually yeah. So, being very charming.
So Columbo comes over. Miss Columbo, of course, does not appear because mm-hmm. she's not feeling well. And he, in the previous scene, was sparring with Ned, telling him that he thought that she did it and laying out a bunch of reasons why he thought she could have done it.
Yep.
And this scene is where he closes the loop. And what we find out is that... that there was this splice, which we, of course, knew about. But what we hadn't known about was that the doctor, who a couple times it's mentioned, is a diagnostician.
Yes.
He had diagnosed in Grace, in his wife, a brain aneurysm that was preventing her from forming short-term memories.
Yeah.
So a lot of her short-term memories were not being stored. And... what we learn sort of is that Columbo says, I don't think she even remembers that she killed him. And her progressive mania is a result of her losing her memory, her not really knowing what's happening, and being guilty of a crime she does not remember.
Right. Well, and then on top of that, that the aneurysm was something that any kind of stress or any of that sort of thing could
kill her at
could
such
kill
as
her at any point,
such and, as appearing in a Broadway show, for
right.
example.
And so her husband was literally trying to save her life or what was left of it.
And more than that, she only has maybe 2 months left.
To 2 live, months at best.
Period.
Yeah.
Even if she relaxes.
In other words, his whole idea of let's go travel the world
was just to give her a nice thing, like have a nice sort of send off for her,
right?
Because she probably would not come back from this trip. It's super sweet and sad.
It's really sweet.
it's
heartbreaking.
It is. Yeah.
And it's so good. It's such a good turn. And I mean the other thing that goes hand in hand with it was. The scene before this, Columbo is talking to Ned, who has loved Grace, you know, as long as he's known her and
right.
was ready to marry her back then and is still ready to marry her.
We
and
found
so
out
Columbo
from,
is...
We found out from a previous scene that Ned drank back in the heydays mm-hmm. and he was involved in a car accident and he crashed and he destroyed his legs and
right.
he can't dance anymore.
Yeah.
And that... drove a wedge between him and Grace that they're now starting to repair, but that's
right.
why they never got together back in the day.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and you can see that kind of wrecks Ned, but also like to watch Columbo have to tell a man,
yeah.
hey, the woman you love killed her husband.
Yeah.
Like, I know you don't want to hear this, but I got to lay it out for you because it's important. And like,
it's the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for him to set that up in that confrontational scene, like that scene is so good. They are so amazing. And then that leads into the following scene, the final scene where they're watching this film and where Columbo has rigged the film. Like he's basically sabotaged the film so that it will split very quickly so that he can time how long it takes her to splice it. Like,
right.
that's the whole thing. But also so that he can convey that to Ned. And the fact that he
yeah,
not only conveys to him, listen, there are at least 11 minutes unaccounted for where she probably killed her husband.
Yeah.
And I'm going to bring you to this. And then I'm going to tell you, hey, here's the thing. She also doesn't remember it.
Yeah.
And to see it go from that to her, like, catch them talking about it and freaking out to Ned lying to her. Ned basically confessing.
He confesses
to
the murder. To Grace, who accepts it. This is where we find out that it's true. She doesn't have any memory
yeah.
of it. She could, because instead of saying that's not true or
right.
or I did it or
right.
responding
can't let
in
you go to prison
in any
for
way
me or anything,
she just accepts it. She
yeah.
she says, why would you do this? You know, and. She lives in that. She lives in that reality now. That's.
Yeah.
It's sad. And another thing we didn't mention about this scene, which I think is super important to its impactfulness, is that it's happening on the sideline as Grace sort of runs around getting everything ready for their evening.
So while she's dipping in and out, they're having this incredibly tense conversation.
Right, because it's all in whispers, too. Yeah. As back and forth as they're getting everything ready.
Yeah, it's so good. It,
yeah.
It really is a remarkable, like...
It's super strong. It's a new take on the formula in a way that's interesting and good.
Yeah.
it's a switcheroo.
Right. I mean, it's literally the first time that Columbo doesn't get the murderer. I mean, he gets the murderer, but at the same time, like it's a moment of
he figures it out.
Empathy and compassion.
Yeah. And one thing, Ned confesses, and then as he's being let out, Columbo says, you know, it's not going to take very long to break your story.
Yeah.
You know, wherever you were, I'm sure there were witnesses. We'll figure it out. And he says, yeah, it might take 2 months.
Yeah.
He says, yeah, it might. And yeah, it's sad.
It's heartbreaking.
It's
and it's so good.
It's very good. Nobody has a good time in this episode. It sucks for everybody.
No, but it's so, it's sweet and it's sad and like, and it's everything you want out of, an episode that is about like kind of a star, you know, basically a star who is no longer a star.
Yeah.
Like it kind of ticks all the boxes you want out of a story about someone like that. Like it makes you kind of feel that sadness and sort of longing, and it's
very good.
Yeah,
it's strong. If you did not watch this episode and you just listened to it, what are you doing?
Yeah, for real. We just kind of ruined the best episode you've seen up to this point.
I would say so. My current favorite for top episodes ever.
Real strong. I'm having a hard time thinking of anything that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely other like more confrontational or more interesting or more dynamic, but
listen,
as far as like performance, scripting, just concept,
yeah,
on every level, I'd say that this was amazing. I cried at the end. It was really good.
Yeah. I mean it, and this is the start of season 5.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It does. The rest of season 5 does not stand up to this quality.
How could it?
That's true.
I mean, God.
It's very, yeah, this is a hell of a they probably should have bust this back to the end of the season. I don't think that they necessarily thought of
Maybe?
It that way.
Yeah. Oh, they didn't. I'm sure they were just really proud of it, and they should be.
Yeah. It's a hell of a way to announce your your presence.
It's really good.
Back
hey,
then.
We're back.
We're fucking back.
Yeah.
Yeah, real good stuff.
I don't even know what I mean.
It's funny, like it's hard. I think it's a little difficult to talk about this one because it's good.
Well, it's so
yeah.
It has such a huge impact. Like I'm fumbling over words because it really has just hit me so hard.
Yeah. I think legitimately, like, I feel like we should have taken a half hour or something.
I mean,
because it's
that would have been smart.
We're recording.
I don't think we've proven that we're real smart when it comes
to like,
that.
We watch the episode and then we sit down to record with almost never any sort of significant break.
Usually it's like a break of a couple minutes.
Yeah.
So
like,
get a drink.
Yeah. Get a drink, go to the bathroom, and then sit down.
Yeah.
And this one, I think we're still wrecked.
Yeah.
We're still feeling it.
No, absolutely.
It's tough. It's tough to like think about all the, you know, there's really nothing to nitpick in this one, I don't think.
There isn't. I mean,
I will
there's
say.
Not, you like, do you want to nitpick? I mean, you can nitpick
can
like,
nip,
oh,
can
the dog pokes his head out at one point and he doesn't have ice cream all over his face.
Yeah.
Like,
I'll say one
that's
thing.
That's not really
I'll
it.
Say one thing. It's real weird that the butler and the maid are married. Because they are like 30 years
difference
in ages.
There's a bit of a gulf there.
Like, it makes more sense when the rich guy is married to a woman who's like maybe 20 years younger than him. It makes less sense when it's a butler. Like, hey, I don't know. That butler has a great personality. I would like to say for the record, it doesn't seem like he does.
I mean, it seems like they have shared interests. Let's go there. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Their shared interest of serving this this rich lady.
I was going to say of watching Johnny Carson every night.
Oh, well, there's that as well. Yeah.
Also, maybe he's just got a huge dong. Who knows?
It's entirely possible.
No judgment, man.
He's got that. He's got that Dr. Zaius.
Yeah.
He's laying it down. He's the real lawgiver.
You said lawgiver, right? Not loggiver. Right.
Hey, man, it's whatever you want it to be.
All right.
He's heading into that forbidden zone. Oh, you know what I'm saying?
I don't.
The Statue of Liberty embedded in the beach. Other Planet of the Apes things.
Yeah. Can you draw me a diagram? Please don't.
I can. Hold on.
No.
Okay.
I'm sorry I asked. Yep.
Diagram available for Patreon subscribers only.
Spoiler alert, there's no Patreon.
There is no Patreon currently.
Anyway.
Just DM me. DM me and you'll
get it. Yeah, DM Mac and he'll send you a dirty photo, I guess.
Slide into my DMs.
Yeah, no.
No, don't.
Yeah, not for that.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I almost feel bad talking about clothes. I don't really have a lot. Ned's formal wear, he has a gigantic red velvet tie that is hilarious to me. The TV presenter at the very beginning, who is interviewing them when they are on the red carpet, like has an absurd tuxedo jacket and like a ruffled shirt that's just wretched. And then the only other thing is, oh my God, I never thought we were going to see Columbo in a tuxedo and a tuxedo that like fits and fits really well.
He looks really good.
Yeah. It's a double breasted, like 6x2, I think is how you refer to that, which is like 6 buttons and then 2 of them button up. So like a 6x3 would be a direct line where they all button, but he's got like, you know,
he's got one unbuttoned.
Well, it's just one of them is far enough out that it doesn't button. And so the bottom two on the side. Yeah. Anyway, 6x2 is what that's called.
Sure.
But it's a very sharp look. And I love that he's just got a couple of cigars in his pocket.
I love Janet Leigh's, all of her costumes are very old style Hollywood, very flowy and elegant and great.
It's really good. I mean, again, I cannot overstate how incredible she is in this. Like, in her swings from like being, so kind and so well receiving to like the intense, almost like, God, just pure rage.
Yeah,
like
manic. It's definitely a manic sort of thing.
Yeah, you see it a couple of times, and like there's like a choreography rehearsal where you really see her start to just lose her shit at somebody.
Yeah.
You know, and some other ones where you just see that intensity in her eyes, and it is it's incredible.
And like knowing the twist, I think there's a really great sort of level of a secondary level of thing of her performance where it seems in the moment as though she is frustrated, you know, with what's happening, but there's also this great thing that's happening where she just legitimately does not understand. Like she's frustrated and evasive, but she also just doesn't understand why he is still talking about this.
Yeah, honestly, like I imagine the rewatch for you was a really fascinating for that stuff.
Yes,
knowing that she literally didn't remember killing her husband.
Yeah, it's really good. It's a multi-tiered sort of performance, and I think it really works.
It's so good.
Yeah. The there's some really great shots in this episode. There's some really like this. They use the location of this mansion really to great effect.
Oh yeah.
It's just great. I don't know. I've run out of things to say.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. That's just kind of how it goes when it's a really good episode.
It's a really good episode.
It's like we're just sort of,
I
mean, there's not anything to nitpick. I don't know what to, I mean, there's even the really, really lovely subplot about the fact that Columbo has been dodging like his requirements as a police officer.
We learned that he hasn't been on the gun range in 10 years.
Yep.
And
he doesn't carry a gun either.
Nope. And he can't shoot.
Yeah.
He has to bribe another officer into taking his
Taking his badge down and basically faking his
shot
his,
time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His records, which is like remarkable, but also it's fantastic because it's such a lovely character detail.
Yeah.
You know, because they've alluded to the fact, he's talked about it before, that he kind of isn't a fan of guns and et cetera. And, you know, and he obviously has said before he can't stand the sight of blood and et cetera. But for it to be such a kind of hard stance of like, I'm not going to, like, I'm literally going to pay someone else to do it because I hate guns this much.
Yeah. And he can't, remarkable. and he can't shoot.
Yeah.
He says he can't even hit the target, which that's, like, that's bad.
I know.
That's pretty bad.
Dude, you're a homicide detective.
That's true. Well, he's got the bum eye, maybe. Unclear.
Right. As I say, as you have told me before, the actor has the bum eye. The character is technically not.
I would say it's unclear as to the status of his eye. It is unaddressed, certainly.
Fair dues.
We can say he does not have good aim, and we'll leave it at that.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that'll do it. I feel like
I don't have anything else to add other than if you have not seen this episode,
you absolutely should go see this
episode. You gotta go dig it up. It's worth it.
Next week, we'll be taking a look at Season 5, Episode 2, A Case of Immunity, starring Hector Elizondo.
Ooh.
Yeah, a little Elizondo for your ass. So that's going to do it this week. This has been Columboys. I'm Mac.
I'm Ben.
And just one more thing.
Yeah.
Go watch this fucking episode. Like, what
seriously,
are you doing?
Seriously, if you have...
Go
stop,
watch this
stop
episode.
Stop listening. Go watch the episode.
It's over, so, I mean...
Yeah, we're done. We're done. Go watch it.
Columboys is hosted by Mac Johnson and Ben Swallow. You can follow them on Twitter at MacJ and at DandyGeek. The Columboys theme is by Seth Boyer. For more information about this and other great Waffle Media projects, you can go to waffle.media. Thanks for listening.
Hey, everybody, it's Mac.
Hey, it's Ben.
And we're the Columboys. Hey, we just want to say thanks for listening to this episode. We love all of our fans. Thank you for paying attention.
Thank you for putting up with us.
Thank you for downloading our weird show.
Yeah.
It's impossible to watch Columbo. We love you guys. We love doing Columboys, and we are committed to bringing you all 69 nice episodes of Columbo. Shut up. All episodes of Columbo to you absolutely free. We're going to do that. Now, we'd like to do more, but frankly, it's not free to release Columboys.
It is not.
It's not. We pay for hosting. There's also travel, and there's just a lot of expenses.
A lot of editing time that Mac spends.
That I spend for
make
free.
Making us look less dumb.
Marginally.
it's an important margin, I would like to point out.
And so one way that you can support us is you can go to ko-fi.com/Columboys and donate a little bit of money towards us. And what we're going to do is if we get $60 donations, you can donate $3 as one-time donation. If we get $60, we'll record an additional Columboys episode.
A bonus episode.
A bonus episode, not about Columbo. If there's a show that you'd love to see us do that old Columboys treatment, you know the talk about fashion. Say there's a show you like.
Yeah. If you've got and especially if you have a particular episode of a show.
Right. Just when you make your donation, add a little comment and say like, hey, do season 3 of Man from U.N.C.L.E. or something. And if we can find it, if we can figure out a way to do it, it's something
like,
super obscure.
Right. Season 5, episode 7 of Murder, She Wrote.
Right.
We will try.
We will try to do it as best as we can. And if we get enough donations, we're going to set the original thing at $60. That's enough for about 5 months of
It's about half a year.
Yeah. And if we get that, then we'll record a bonus episode. And if this is wildly successful, hey, maybe we'll do more in the future. This is just a way for us to recoup a little bit and do a little more Columbo boys. Columbo boys.
We'll do a little more Columbo boys for you.
If this is the kind of nonsense you like, you can go ahead to our coffee. That's
ko-fi.com/Columboys.
That's it. And thanks for listening.
Yeah.